This year is the 25th anniversary of the fall of the Berlin Wall. November the 9th, 1989 was the date whenever the wall came down. Of course, it was a great victory for the gospel because up until that point, the Berlin Wall was like a barrier. It was like a hindrance to the gospel getting into the what was known as the Eastern Bloc. But whenever the Berlin Wall came down 25 years ago, of course, it opened up the way for missionaries, for evangelists to go into the Eastern Bloc countries to bring the gospel to the people there that had been in such terrible darkness. Communism had held the people for years. The Berlin Wall was constructed in 1961. And as we've already said, it came down 25 years ago. But I wonder, do you know what it was that brought down the Berlin Wall? What was the reason, or why did the wall fall? Well, one of the reasons, now wait for it, listen, one of the reasons was a prayer meeting. A prayer meeting. Now, perhaps you're saying today, well, what's this? Or are you having another history lesson today? We're thinking back and looking back at something else. Is this another history lesson? Well, no, it's not. I want today to learn the lesson of the importance of prayer, the importance of the prayer meeting to us as a church today. But I also want us to learn the lesson that was learned in that prayer meeting that brought down the Berlin Wall. You see, this prayer meeting that I'm referring to this morning, it began in 1982. Okay, 7 years before the wall came down, this prayer meeting was started in the city of Leipzig in Germany, in the church called, it was called St. Nicholas's Church. The Church of St. Nicholas. It was a parish church. We would say Anglican church. It's not good to know that in Anglican churches there was a prayer meeting. Sometimes we wrongly look down our noses at other denominations and we kind of become proud and we take a holier-than-thou attitude to some other churches. But here we have this Anglican church. 1982, the minister called Christian Führer. And don't be put off by that name, Führer, because a lot of people, when they hear the word Führer, they think of Hitler. But that word just means leader. And this man, Pastor Christian Führer, he started this prayer meeting in his church. And for 7 long years, they prayed for the Berlin Wall to come down. They prayed for the gospel to go forth into the countries behind this, the wall, behind the Iron Curtain, that the blessed gospel of Christ would go forth and that people would be reached who had never heard the message of saving grace. But you know that there were discouragements during the 7 years of that prayer meeting. And let's remember that there are still discouragements in prayer meetings today. I wonder, has anybody ever been discouraged in a prayer meeting? I'll not ask you to put your hands up, but I'm sure if I did, that all the hands would go up, because there are times when you meet together for prayer that you are discouraged. Now, there might be many different reasons for it. Could be numbers, maybe not very many people in the prayer meeting. Could be other reasons why you're discouraged. Maybe you've been praying for a loved one for years and nothing seems to be happening. There's a whole host of reasons that can discourage us in the place of prayer. But these believers in that Anglican church in Germany, they got discouraged at times. But, now this is important, but they turned to Matthew chapter 18 verse 20. And they were encouraged by this great verse, this great text. Look at it there in Matthew chapter 18, verse 20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. The Savior's beautiful words to his disciples promising his people his presence. These words came to those German believers as they prayed for the collapse of the Berlin Wall. And my, these words of the Savior were such a mighty encouragement. And because of this verse, those believers kept on praying. It's good to keep on praying. It's good to keep on coming to the prayer meeting. It's good to persevere. And that's what these Christians did. And eventually, the sovereign God of heaven in 1989, he brought down the wall in answer to the prayers of those Christians. So I want us today to consider the text that was such an encouragement to those believers during the time that they prayed for the wall to come down. The Savior's great words, let's think about them today. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. I want you to notice, first of all, the small group that's mentioned here. The small group. Jesus says, where two or three are gathered. Two or three. Not very many. He's talking about a small group. And Jesus says that where there's even just two or three Christians meeting, he'll be there. Now, we've got more than two or three today, thank the Lord. But even if we only had two or three in church this morning, the Lord Jesus would still be here. And Jesus speaks about this small group, where two or three are gathered together in my name. You'll notice that Jesus didn't say where 200 or 300 are gathered together. No, he didn't say that, or he didn't say 2,000 or 3,000. You know how some people would only go to mega churches? They'd only go to a church where there's a crowd. A mega church. Well, I believe there's really only one mega church in the world, and that's the Church of Jesus Christ worldwide. But the Lord Jesus here, he says that he's going to come and be present where there's just a small little group of believers, just a little flock. The Lord Jesus doesn't say, I will go where there's a mega church, where there's a great big auditorium, and there's great crowds who go. That's where I'll be. But see them wee small, insignificant churches, there's only a handful of people go. No, that's beneath me. Jesus doesn't say that. You see, that's not what our Savior is like. Oh, how humble he is. How gracious he is. And he promises that where the small group is meeting in his name, that he'll be there. Jesus says, I'll be in the small prayer meeting on a Sunday evening or a Thursday night or a Saturday morning or wherever where there's a prayer meeting in people's homes. There's two or three Christians are meeting to pray. I'll be there. Thank God for the promise of his presence. We only need two or three. That's the quorum, we could say. You know how people talk about a quorum? I think the Jewish synagogue, they have a quorum of 10. And they have to have 10 Jewish men, meeting together in the synagogue before it can be called a proper service. Well, that's not the case with the Lord Jesus and his church. Jesus says that you only need a quorum of two or three. And I'll be there. And you see, whenever the second Christian arrives at the meeting, then Jesus arrives with them. Isn't that a lovely thought? The second person who was here this morning, I don't know who it was. It wasn't me, for I was a wee bit late today. But the second person who came to this church this morning, second person who walked in through those doors today, the Lord Jesus walked in with them. He's here. And he meets with his people to encourage his people, to bless his people. Now, I suppose really we're focusing on the prayer meeting this morning. And we need to think about Moses and Aaron and Hur. I suppose you could say that's the Old Testament equivalent of what Jesus is saying here. You see, there was just three men on the mountain that day in Exodus chapter 17. Moses, Aaron, and Hur. Moses was in the middle. And he had two helpers. They were praying. It's good to have helpers in the prayer meeting, isn't it? It's good to have people to hold up your hands when you get tired. It's good to have an amen. It's good to have a hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It's good to agree with what your brother or your sister's saying in prayer. Thank God for prayer meetings. And may the Lord give us lively prayer meetings. We don't want dead prayer meetings either. Sure, we don't. May we want prayer meetings with life in them, where people are crying out to God and crying out and pleading and praising the Lord. Just like Moses and Aaron and Hur. You know, there was a minister on one occasion. He started what was called the Aaron and Hur Society. He started this in his church. It was a prayer meeting, of course. But he called it the Aaron and Hur Society. Well, on Thursday night, we're going to have the Aaron and the Hur Society in church. Tonight, we'll have the Aaron and the Hur Society. Saturday morning at the end of the month, it's the Aaron and Hur Society. My, what an important society it is. And as we meet for that society or that prayer meeting, the Lord Jesus promises to meet with us. So we have the small group that Jesus speaks of. He not only speaks about a small group, but he speaks about the steady growth. You'll notice in this great text of Scripture, there's reference to steady growth. The Lord Jesus says, where two or three are gathered. You'll notice that he doesn't say, where three or two are gathered. Did you notice that? You see, he's going up from two to three. He's not going down from three to two. The Lord Jesus is speaking here about an increase. And here we have 50% increase. Because you go from two to three. And that's 50%. Now, my maths isn't the best in the world. If you have a problem, boys and girls, with your maths homework, don't come to me. But even I can work out that it's 50% increase there in the prayer meeting. In this group of believers who are meeting together, now some people would frown upon it and say, sure, there's only three. Sure, what kind of a meeting that is that? You've only, still only got three people. Oh, but it's an increase in the eyes of the Lord and it's growth and it's important. Thank God for the growth on a Friday night in this church. Thank God for Lifeliners and for the steady growth that's taking place. And as we have emphasized earlier, this is the Lord's work. To him be all the glory. Thank God for steady growth. That's what we want to see in the church, isn't it? Sometimes people mistake growth, or they mistake increase in numbers for growth. And sometimes people leave one church and they go to another church and everybody's excited and isn't this great? This is growth. But sure, that's just robbing Peter to pay Paul, isn't it? That's not growth. True growth is whenever precious souls come in who don't go to a church. They don't go anywhere where they hear the gospel. And the Lord brings them in. Praise God, that's growth. And we believe that's what's happening on a Friday night. And really, to get down to the crux of it, true growth is when souls are saved. Isn't that right? Because you know, sometimes and quite often in Ulster, That's the state of the church in Ulster today. People float about and drift about from one church to another. And the Bible says that it's good to be established, and it's good to put your roots down in a church and to make a church your spiritual home, because the Lord wants to bless you in that place. But you know, true growth is when people are born again. And I want you to pray, brothers and sisters, I want you to go home and today and this week, I want you just to take it in your heart that on the Friday night and the Sunday morning as we minister to the children, that there will be conversions and that souls will be saved. And let's pray. It's not just the children's work. That would be wrong if we just prayed for souls to be saved in the children's work. We want souls to be saved tonight, as Naomi testifies. We want souls to be saved on a Sunday morning. We want souls to be saved throughout the week. Because our God is not restricted or confined to Monday to Sunday. He's a God who works from Monday to Saturday, the whole week through. Our God fills the heavens. The heaven of heavens cannot contain him. He's not confined and restricted to these four walls. Oh, that we would go to our homes, to the quiet place, and pray for conversions. Lord, we want to see true growth in our church. Lord, give us a maternity ward in the church. That's what the church needs. Those of you who were there on Thursday night, you'll have heard me refer to that one old preacher who said that every church should have a maternity unit, a maternity ward, spiritually speaking, where souls are born again, people are saved. And the Lord's able to do it. Don't be discouraged because we don't have a maternity ward at the minute, but the Lord's able to give it to us. And he's able to give us steady growth. The small group, the steady growth. But I want to finish today. Thank God we have the special guest. You see, the Lord Jesus says that he is the special guest. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. There am I in the midst of them. You know, that's where the Lord Jesus loves to be. That's where he ought to be, in the midst, in the center of all that's going on. Every effort that we make inside these four walls and outside these four walls must revolve around Christ. He is to be in the midst of it all. Sad to say, some churches have turned into social clubs. And there's some churches where it's just about entertainment. And it's just about activities. Well, you've all seen a rocking horse. There's plenty of activity with a rocking horse, but it's not going anywhere. There's a lot of churches. My, there's a lot of activity, like the rocking horse. But the church is going nowhere because Christ is left out. He's not in the center. But you see, that's where he ought always to be. There am I in the midst of them. Notice, please, that the Lord Jesus doesn't say where two or three ministers are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. He doesn't say that. Notice that Jesus doesn't say where two or three elders are met together in my name, there am I in the midst. Or he doesn't even say where two or three adults are met together in my name, there am I in the midst. No, he's just talking about believers. He's talking about, even about children. You see, during times of revival in the past, the little children started to pray. Haven't you read about 1859 in the Ulster Revival that some of the children went out into the playgrounds at break time and lunchtime and they started to pray? And the Lord Jesus was there because where you had maybe two or three little ones in a corner of the playground praying for their wee friends to be saved, The Lord Jesus was with them. The special guest was there. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. That verse was such an encouragement to the Christians who were praying for the collapse of the Berlin Wall. That promise kept them going. That promise kept them praying. You know, friends, we have many walls that we want to see brought down. There are walls that you cannot see with your physical eye that are all around us today. And there are walls in this community. And there are walls in our families. And these walls must come down if souls are to be saved. How do we bring the walls down? We pray. The church needs to get to prayer. Let me encourage you, child of God. I know it's not always easy to be in the prayer meetings. And life is so busy. It's hectic. And I understand all that. And there's a lot of commitments. But let me encourage every Christian in this church this morning, young or old, to be in the prayer meetings.